Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. Bob Costas will join us at high noon, so that's coming up in about an hour. So make sure you tune in for that. That's going to be a fun interview coming up at noon. But speaking of fun interviews, we always enjoy our chats with our next guest, Ryan McGee. Is on the line with us. He can talk college football, NASCAR. He can do it all. And now he joins us. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good. Bob Costas, man. I just put me on hold. I might listen into that later on.
You just love saying it. You feel big time if you have something to do with Bob Costas, at least for a day.
Yeah, well, and I, you know, baseball is doing such a great job right now. I'm really curious to hear what Bob has to say because they're really crushing it, aren't they, in the quarantine?
Oh boy, man. Could they use some classes right now? There's going to be a real. I said this earlier, Ryan. There's going to be a ripple effect, no matter what. Even if they come to an agreement, it's whatever they agree upon. If that happens, there's still going to be a ripple effect. People are completely turned off right now how this has been handled, or should I say botched?
Yeah, well, and it's a lack of self-awareness of how important you actually are. You know, I would even argue that, you know, certainly for those of us who don't live in the 30 whatever major league cities, you know, you're in a AAA city, I'm in a AAA city, I love the Sounds, I love the Charlotte Knights. I think it hurts America more that minor league baseball is not playing than major league baseball, because that's an experience through your family and whatnot. But anyway, whatever, it just drives me absolutely crazy. Literally everyone is killing themselves to try to get back as soon as possible. And those guys are getting over $1 billion.
Yeah, it's, I guess rather than just get really depressed with this interview, I guess let's move on. Although what I'm about to bring up, I'm not sure how much of a pick-me-up it is, but it is interesting to see, Ryan, just the relationship right now with the student-athlete / the football player and the head coaches, because I would argue that I don't know if I've ever seen this in my lifetime. We've been saying that the coaches have always held all the cards and had all the power, and that just wasn't right. And you know what? There's been a shift. And what happened to Mike Norvell at Florida State and Dabo Swinney? You think about how big his star is in Clemson and how bright it is, but yet what happened 3 years ago with an assistant has been brought to light. And now the Mike Gundy, players are not afraid to speak out against their head coaches, and I'm not sure I think I've seen that in my lifetime. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I totally agree, and I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, and it's – you know, I laugh at some of the people that are kind of like, these players need to shut up and do what they've always done. But those are the same people that complain that, you know, they should receive some, you know, compensation for their likeness, or, you know, why don't I have my NCAA football video game and all that stuff. So it's, you know, the kids are either going to have the power or they aren't. And so it's just, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, particularly over the last week. But one of the great things about it is it does lend a voice. And it also, there are no more secrets. So the days of a coach just kind of saying whatever they want to say and not being checked on that, you know, whether it's an NCAA violation or whether it's trying to cover up a crime in the team or whether it's saying you said something to the team when you didn't actually say it, those days are gone. You have to be 100% transparent. And I'm proud of these kids for, you know, checking these guys on this and for speaking up. And listen, they are moved emotionally and spiritually and, you know, whatever you want to come up with of what all has happened in the United States. And you think about that generation, man, and I'm talking about, I mean, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and what that generation has had to deal with, whether it's school shootings or pandemics or, you know, the ugliness of politics in America, just the stress level. that a teenager in 2020 has had to have in the background of their lives their whole life, you know, it's forced them to be more mature than we were, you know, when I was that age. And so I think that's part of it too, which is, you know, these kids are smart, and they're going to stand up for themselves, and they're going to stand up for what they believe in. And so, yeah, I give them credit, man. Old Chubba up at Oklahoma State, he wasn't having any of it. And as a result, a conversation took place.
Yep.
And what we all keep talking about with everything that's happening, you know, particularly over the last few weeks in the United States is, you know, the positive spin on it and what we should try to take away from all this is to have the conversation. And so now what's happening is these coaches are having to have the conversation with the players that they should have had in the first place. And so in some cases they said they had it and they hadn't. And so, yeah, the conversation's taking place, and I'm all for it, man.
I have no doubt your 15-year-old daughter's IQ is three times what mine was when I was 15. Hell, it may be three times what it is today, but you're right about that. I mean, I feel like kids today, while they've been saddled with a lot more than I think simpler times when we were growing up, but, man, they have so much knowledge and they're so much further advanced than I think we were. I mean, I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, well, it's just, I equate it to sports all the time, which is, you know, you can't be a caveman and play football now. You just can't. You know, the days of just being bigger and stronger, faster than the other guy, and just using that to win games, you know, it helps. But the reality is that there's no way you can process the modern football playbook on either side of the football without being super smart. And without being dedicated to doing work all the time and also trying to balance, oh, by the way, getting your college degree. And so you can't operate day-to-day as an athlete at the highest level in college sports and be a dummy. You just can't. And I think that's changed dramatically in the last 10 years, particularly when I was in school a really long time ago. I just think that these kids are smart. And they know how to do their homework, and they don't know any way to do it other than to just work really hard. And as a result, you know, the coach also can't, you know, coach like a caveman anymore. He has to know what everyone's doing all the time. And, oh, by the way, if I'm paying you $7 million a year, you should probably do that without any complaint.
Yeah. How do you think Norvell and Dabo and now Gundy have handled their situations to this point?
Well, I mean, I think that, again, it's forced them to have the conversation. And the question is, how genuine is it? And when you talk to the people in those athletic departments, they will let you know pretty quick, you know, how genuine it is. I'm not sure what Mike Gundy's doing right now. You know, the guy that I have spent time with and liked very much, I don't know who this guy is now. Even on the red carpet at the College Football Awards, you know, he was there with a couple of his athletes and interviewing him live on television. I was like, I don't even know where this guy's going anymore. And so I'm not sure what happens with these guys. But I mean, it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago about, you know, kind of losing touch with, you know, not being self-aware, not understanding who you are, what you're doing, the impact you have, and sometimes not understanding that, you know, the what's going to happen if you say certain things and the blowback that's going to come with that. And so I think a lot of these guys, they've just become larger than life and a little untouchable. And so they think they can do or say whatever they want. And the reality is that that's not the case. So that's a long answer to your question, but I think certain guys have certainly handled this better than others. And I think that certain guys have been a lot more genuine about this than the others.
Talking to Ryan McGee from ESPN, always enjoy our conversations with him. Ryan, You tweeted about this. It's interesting just where you fall, I think, in your age demographic, I guess close to us, your historical perspective of the Maguire-Sosa thing. We were kicking this around yesterday. Where to place this in our mind? You know, we went through it. We had all these exhilarating memories. We know now what we know now. So where do you place it on? I had shelved it for a long time. Now I'm finding myself trying to come to grips with this.
You know what's funny is having conversations about it with, like kids my daughter's age, or, you know, kids who didn't see them play. And, you know, what I think about is that summer, I'm dating myself, my wife and I remember clear as a bell sitting there in July and August in the summer of 98 stuffing invitations to our wedding and watching Maguire and Sosa hit home runs. And it was just, my wife, who could care less about any of this when it comes to sports, was completely captivated. And, you know, and I was a big Lance Armstrong guy. And so the Lance documentary that ran, you know, just prior to this McGuire-Sosa 30 for 30, you know, it's kind of the last time I was emotionally attached to any of these things. And so I think our generation, it brought up a lot of great memories slash bad memories because we were emotionally attached to it. And I think that's why we're like, well, screw those guys. Don't put them in the Hall of Fame. I was a huge Roger Clemens guy. I mean, I'm standing in my office right now, and I have a ticket stub. I saw Roger Clemens strike out 20 in Detroit one night. And I loved him. I was a Red Sox fan. But I was burned, and I was burned on Lance, and I was burned on McGuire and Sosa. And so I think if you're our age and you loved that summer so much, we're just burned, man. We're burned emotionally, and we're mad because of what they did to the game. But then when I talk to, you know, guys that play at my daughter's high school, great high school baseball players, they're like, what's your problem, dude? Put them in the Hall of Fame. Because they're just not emotionally attached to it. And so I think that's what's kind of come rushing back to me watching this thing.
Yeah. And with that in mind, do you think someday, as the voters get younger and more removed from that time and they didn't see it, it get burned like you and I did, that those guys might end up in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, and I graduated high school in Greenville, South Carolina, which was the hometown of Shoeless Joe Jackson. And I was living there when Field of Dreams came out. And that's when the whole thing started about, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, Shoeless Joe, put him in the Hall of Fame. And everybody tried to frame it up like, you know, well, you know, he didn't really throw the series like the other Black Sox did and all this other stuff. And so as the generation, but then the older people who were in Greenville, they were still so angry at him because he had embarrassed baseball and he had embarrassed Greenville, South Carolina, and he had embarrassed, you know, everybody. And so the people who remembered it were like, forget it. You know, don't put him in the Hall of Fame. But then those of us who never saw him play and, you know, we just watched him walk out of the cornfield with Kevin Costner, we're like, oh, man, that's sweet. Put him in the Hall of Fame. And so, I think as the generations go by, you know, those guys will get in. The only difference is Pete Rose. I think Pete Rose is never going to die. He's going to be 250 years old and still acting like an idiot. So I'll say keep him out.
We're talking to Ryan McGee of ESPN, Marty McGee, of course, the show. NASCAR making the announcement, the All-Star Race moving to Bristol this year. It's going to be July 15th. They're going to let 30,000 fans into that bull ring. I'm excited about that, to have, you know, more than 5,000 fans at a race since the return, but also moving the All-Star race to Bristol, I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and honestly, too, so we were supposed to have received, back in the middle of April, just a few weeks into the quarantine, we were supposed to have received the new 2021 NASCAR schedule. And you guys know me, I've been screaming for 20 years to shorten races, to run midweek night races in the summertime, shorten the season, you know, shorten the calendar, keep the same number of races, but finish the season sooner. I've been screaming to shorten everything forever. And now we're kind of seeing them do that stuff, and they're trying things like no qualifying in practice and Wednesday night races and, you know, 500-kilometer races as opposed to 500-mile races, and now the All-Star race at Bristol. We're seeing them try a lot of things that – there was a lot of discussion about doing it, but you didn't know if they were going to pull the trigger on it. And so, I'm all for it, man. I think it's great. And, you can absolutely socially distance if there's 30,000 fans at Bristol, because Bristol seats about 140. So there's plenty of room to spread everybody out. And so it will, it's going to be great. And it was like Talladega this weekend. They're going to have 5,000 fans, and it's going to look like there's four people there. Because it is literally, without exaggeration, the world's longest grandstand along the front stretch. So
yeah.
I'm all about bringing fans back, but I'm not ready for them to just completely open the floodgates yet. But that night, the All-Star race at Bristol is something people have been talking about forever. And now finally, these, as every TV commercial tells us, these uncertain times, this is the time to try all this stuff.
How cool is it to see – we talked to former Titan safety, former NFL safety Bernard Pollard yesterday. He has become a fan of NASCAR, been watching, you know, with everything that's going on. Alvin Kamara was a guest this weekend at Homestead. We knew that with them coming back, they were going to bring in new fans, but I think this is cool to see some of the crossover with these NFL players, and also the work that Bubba Wallace has done for Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and you mentioned Marty McGee. You know, we had Brad Daugherty on with us for almost an hour on Saturday morning. And Brad, as you guys know, he grew up in the mountains, North Carolina, Black Mountain. He was a race fan, has been his whole life, co-owns JTG Darty. I've actually watched Brad, 611 or whatever it is. He has a late model car that he drives. I have no idea how to get him in and out of that thing. But he talked about his whole life having to kind of apologize or qualify his NASCAR fandom with his NBA teammates and other people that he just like, come on to the racetrack. And they didn't want to go there because of that flag. And so you've already seen almost overnight, I was talking to Bubba Wallace about this, about the fact that all of these people are reaching out and going, man, I want to go to a race now, because they feel like they're comfortable there. They feel like they're actually welcome there. And so I think it's fantastic, and I think we're going to see more and more of that going forward. There's absolutely going to be protests. There's absolutely going to be some people who go out of their way to make it known that they don't like the fact that that flag isn't allowed anymore. But that's going to be a bump in the road over the long haul. And the reality is, a lot more people are welcoming. They haven't closed the door to anyone. What they've done is they've opened the door to a lot of people who didn't even consider it before last Wednesday.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest takeaway from it, and how cool that it is. And, one thing, too, to move into Nashville, they made the announcement that the Super Speedway is going to get a race next year. So I've had people hit me up that I've talked about NASCAR for years, and they laugh at me. And now all of a sudden, hey, so are we going to the race? You going to get us tickets?
Yeah.
Like, let's go check it out. I know that the fairgrounds continues to be a focus. That deal is not dead by any means. In fact, I think this is going to help that along. I know that the drivers, that's where NASCAR wants to be, but I also think this is cool to get the sport back into the market with the deal that was worked out with Dover Motorsports to move one of their races to the Nashville Super Speedway. Going to be cool to have them here next year.
That's going to be awesome. And listen, you're talking to a proud son of Rockingham, North Carolina. And what, every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every Easter, every Mother's Day, I got to hear about, well, why don't we have a race anymore? And I'm like, dude, if you had bought a ticket and gone to the racetrack, that's a vote. A ticket is a vote, and if you want to keep racing there, then you do it. And so my advice to anyone who wants to see racing at the fairgrounds is buy a ticket to the Super Speedway and go, because if you prove that the market is fired up between the awards, between the Champions Week and the Super Speedway, if everybody throws their support behind that thing, then I think they will absolutely come in to the fairgrounds for a weeknight, awesome bull ring short track race, and I will be there. In fact, I don't know if you guys know this. My wife used to live in Nashville.
Yeah.
And when we were dating long distance, this is how romantic I am. Back in the RPM Tonight days on ESPN2, I had to come to Nashville for a truck series race, and I got my wife a pit pass. I remember looking at her about lap 150 and her sitting on a cooler, an RC Cola cooler in Stacy Compton's pits. And I knew she must have loved me, because she sat there for about 2.5 hours at the fairgrounds, and no smartphones in. You're just staring at the RC Cola cooler. But that's how romantic I am. She married me anyway.
That's good. Hey, that racing brings everybody together, Ryan. I love that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it does now, and I think that's the beauty of it. I'm with you guys. I'm hearing from people that I know. I could not have going to the racetrack is the coolest experience. You guys know this. Doesn't matter what track it is, race cars are cool. They're always going to be cool. And now there's no excuse for any of your friends to not want to go.
We're gonna wrap up with this, Ryan, because you've always been so nice to this show. We got clearance a couple of weeks ago when the announcement was made. We had the president and CEO of Dover Motor Speedway on the show. Of course, they own the Nashville Super Speedway. And I came clean at the end of the interview and said, just so you know, about 12 years ago, we were doing a radio show out there at the track. And we were an afternoon drive then. And when we got off the air, there was nobody at the track. And I mean nobody. We were the last people to leave. It was basically shut the door behind you. And I looked at Willie and our engineer, and I said, hey, we're never going to get this opportunity again. Let's take our cars out on the track. And we did laps around the track. And I came clean and said, I just want you to know I've been carrying this burden for 12 years. And I said, I hope you will forgive us. And he said, not only are you forgiven, we'll do it again whenever we come back for this June race next year. So you're invited, Ryan.
Dennis McGlynn. Yeah, if it was Dennis McGlynn, then I know for a fact, as president of the Dover track forever, I know for a fact that he was well known to maybe wander down after work and blow off some steam around that concrete oval in his streetcar. So, yeah, he feels you on that deal.
Well, we have been given clearance that we can do it again. And, you know, like I said, because you've been nice to the show, if you're coming for the race, we want you to join us.
Yeah, well, as long as I can drive. I like you guys, but I don't know. I don't have any idea what your driving record is. So
Yeah. You have your own vehicle.
Maybe I'll run a couple laps, and then once I feel comfortable, I'll let y'all drive. I'll get in the back seat.
Sounds good. Hey, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, y'all too. Thanks, man.
All right, that is Ryan McKee. Always enjoy our chats with him. We will come back. More on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.